short. So pay attention, can you afford? Everyday conversation, decision making, breakdown, point of views, of course. He say, she say, see how we play. Real life issues, hit the replay. Debate in politics, what sport you profit with. Today's world news, food for thought, so come get a plate. Pull up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome y'all to another episode of the Day Late Dollar Show podcast. As always, almost wasn't always today because I was late as shit. It's your host, Martin. Talk about myself. With my co-host, Marlon.
How you doing?
Doing good. My Sandy told me to tell you, hey, Sandy, heard you've been out in the streets. Whoa. I was telling her about your business.
What?
I know. Just fucking with you. You know, all swollen and shit. Nah, you on Instagram with your muscle pictures. She seen you.
I mean, what can I say?
He uncomfortable all of a sudden.
I mean, you know, gotta maintain the body.
I respect it. You know. I respect it.
But I got from somebody else too, who's happens to be here today. So I got from him. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and Justin, it's a pleasure, sir.
Martin, as biracial, how do you feel about the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef?
That's what we're doing. We got some stories, baby.
But let's introduce our guest before we get started.
Bro, come on, let's.
We are joined by a network specialist, a graphic designer, a man of many talents. He is also a walking inspiration. It's Darren Lindsay, ladies and gentlemen.
What's going on, sir?
All is well, man. I'm good. How are you?
It's hot outside.
It is hot. It's only gonna get hotter.
Yeah. And before you walked in, we did discuss the whole Kendrick and Drake debate. Christ. So we can talk about that briefly if you like. So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, if it is true that Drake set up the things that Kendrick mentioned in his diss, being the hypothetical daughter, and the Ozempic and the gloves and all that shit that Kendrick had in the photo, if it was true that that was all fictional, that is some top tier level shit right there. That's some top tier level shit right there. That's some petty that I have to respect. I think everyone has to respect that.
I didn't even recognize that was gloves. In the,
it was Maybach. The gloves had like a Maybach Music logo on them. The Ozempic. Like
two pill bottles?
One was like the Ozempic and the other was something else. That was shots at like Rick Ross.
Gotcha.
And then the shirt was a shot at Kendrick and some other stuff. So it was all very subliminal,
gotcha.
Supposedly found in his dad's suitcase. Mm. So if that is to be believed, that is top tier level trolling. Because this man wrote a whole diss track about it. Yeah. And then the hypothetical daughter, supposedly Drake hired this little girl to pretend to be his daughter. So she got bread out of it, which I respect, because if you're going to do it, pay somebody. She's going to be on a Disney show in like a year. Watch. You know.
So if you're a member of Drake's team, what do you tell him? What do you advise him to do? Do you say, go back, like try to get back at him? Or, you know, why don't you take this one out? What do you do?
So I think to really look at that, like the line Drake said about Kendrick's music sounding like he's always trying to free the slaves was hilarious, because that very much is where Kendrick falls in these two songs. It's very much
three songs.
Yes. Well, I'm thinking of the two most recent ones. The one he dropped before, what was it, Family Matters, and then the Grams.
Yeah, he dropped another one last night.
Oh, see, I haven't even heard that yet. It's starting to be a lot. Yeah. You know, it's hard to keep track of, because I went to bed last night, you know, and I was like, okay, and I hadn't looked at anything yet because I've been occupied all morning.
Yeah.
Well, we know.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would have to hear the new one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like you have to validate the hypotheticals. If you set it up, great. Then you have to come at him. Because I'm not going to lie. like Kendrick says some stuff that you just got to pull up on him and fight him at this point. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, some of the shit I was like, no, you got to fight this nigga, man. Like,
what if he's hiding another child?
I mean, he wouldn't be the first person.
Nah, man, he's done if that shit is true.
No, if both of his kids got exposed due to diss tracks, cause that is like
he's not hiding his child.
He's hiding the world from his child.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
He's not hiding his child from the world. He's hiding his world from
the child. So, yes.
But if hypothetically speaking, he does have another child, and that child gets exposed in a diss track, you know, you just got to start rethinking your life decisions.
Yeah, you got to go back to acting.
There's no going back to acting.
You
got to
go back to the grassy. 20-year reunion.
Nah. Just take the money you made.
Keep it moving.
Go on back to Toronto and just let that be that.
Yeah.
That, because, I mean, it's tough, man.
Yeah, we can revisit that later. Let's get back,
back to the man in Iowa. Get back to the real story of our guests here. So, Darren, take us back to the winter of 2010 at Alabama AM. Was it AMU?
A&T.
A&M. And you volunteered to do a flyer for a play.
Wow.
And that started the whole journey. So take me to that moment of doing the various design.
2010, I was a sophomore at A&M. And, I was just trying to find my way on campus, trying to see what activities I wanted to be involved in. And we had a theater program that was led by a student. And I think I was a barber in the play. And she was, you know, trying to get information together to do a flyer. And she was like, I can't find anybody to do this flyer. Does anybody know a graphic designer? I'm like, I could do a flyer. She said, you're a designer? I'm like, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a designer, but I could do a flyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I made me a Facebook page on Facebook. And came up with this ridiculous price list. Like, I had flyers for $34, tickets was $26. Like, it was very random numbers. But that literally started my design career.
That's what's up. You pulled a profit.
Yeah.
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 Then you decided to move back from there to back home.
Yeah. So I ended the school year. That's the story's two part. So I was a student on campus. And I might have auditioned for the play in like December, and the show was in February. When the spring came, I didn't have what do you use to pay for school?
Financial aid.
My financial aid was jacked up, like most students at HBCUs. And I couldn't get it together. I couldn't get a loan to process.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the year, I decided to just, you know, go back home, and I started a graphic design business.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what goes into the art of graphic design? Like, what is your process of doing that?
Yeah, man. So honestly, me as a designer, it's all about legibility. A lot of people will say my work is very clean.
And stands out as well.
It stands out. So it's all about making sure the colors pop. And not look like everybody else's stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's my main thing. Is it readable? Is it legible? And does it pop, you know? So I don't use a whole bunch of shadows and, you know, but I do make sure that I use like some bright colors and clean lines and things like that to make the graphics stand out.
So do you have like what is like the time left normally you make a graphic design? Like, do you play around with it a lot?
And, honestly, I've been doing design for 13 years. I could brand somebody's company and like, 20 minutes.
Talk that shit.
Yeah. Somebody else, it may take a long time, but like if it's a logo design, that might take 10, 15 minutes. A flyer could take maybe 20 minutes, depending on how much information they need on it. It doesn't take me a long time these days, you know.
It's that talent.
Yeah.
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 But something as simple as, not as simple, but just, you started something off and it became a career, something you fell in love with. Just talk about you falling in love with graphic designing.
Yeah, man. So if I could go all the way back, when I was like 12 or 10, I used to make my mom Mother's Day cards. We had this compact computer.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my twin brother shared it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that would probably be my earliest memory of
graphic design. When I started taking actual design classes in high school, it was a lot of InDesign, a lot of Photoshop. Mm-hmm. I just was not good. The programs were very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. So I was really designing in Microsoft Word. If you had a MacBook, I was designing in Pages. Mm-hmm. And I just was really manipulating these Word documents to look good, you know?
Yeah.
And then one day I had a client reach out and was like, because I would put everybody, like, if it was a conference, I would put everybody in, like, a shape, a circle, a square. And it was like, this looks great, but can you, like, take the background off the photo? And I'm like, I don't really know how to do all that. And so I used to get, when I was in college, I would get, like, 10-day trials for Photoshop. And I would constantly make new email addresses so I could use Photoshop over and over until I finally had the money to, you
know, the college hustle,
buy
it
monthly. But... Yeah, so YouTube is a great source out there if you need to learn how to, you know, do something quick. But just doing a routine, it becomes like second nature. You can do things a little bit more swiftly.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. I know you probably got a lot of free subscriptions to like HBO Max and shit.
I was Darren Lindsay, Darren Lindsay 1, Darren Lindsay 2. Like... at gmail.com to get these free subscriptions.
When you when you a broke college student, you got to get it some kind of way. You got to get it out the mud, man.
Yeah, it worked.
I think we've all done that for a random subscription or a free trial for this, 10 days.
I still do it.
Yeah. You know, just people ain't giving free trials like they used to.
I ain't paid for HBO Max yet.
I mean, even Apple, they'll give it to you for 7 days, and then if you don't forget to cancel, you know,
they're going to tax.
But talk about how you became a full-time entrepreneur, just that you were with a company for 7 years, and, you know, y'all worked out something, and then just resigned. Yeah. So talk about just that moment of...
So I'll give you the real story. So I didn't just resign.
I know, I saw that, but I didn't want to just put that out there like that.
So I dropped out of college at 19, 20. Came back home to New Orleans, was staying with my mom. I got a job at Energy. And I think we was making copies or something like that. But it was enough money for me to get a new MacBook and a printer. And so the job was only 2 months, but it was enough money for me to, you know, get a new Mac. And my aunt was working at a law firm, and it was hiring a office assistant to make copies, to make coffee. And I had just turned 21. I was making like $13 an hour, which was a lot for me, you know, at the time. And I think I got a raise to like 16. So I was doing really well, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know. So anyway, in my cubicle, I had my business cards for Darren Lindsay Graphic Design. And I had an office manager named Melissa, can't think of Melissa's last name, but a white lady. And I was the only black male in the office. And I would go to work every day swagged. Button downs, bow ties, suspenders. Like, it was a whole thing, you know? And so somebody would look at me and assume I was probably an attorney, but I was an office manager, office assistant at a law firm. And so one day, Melissa was like, what are these business cards for? I was like, I do graphic design. She was like, you know, the law firm has a marketing department. You should reach out. I was like, oh, no, I'm good. So one day I was making coffee or whatever like that. And she was like, hey, Lindsay, did you reach out to the marketing department yet? I was like, oh, no, I'm going to get to it. She said, get your black ass back there. Black ass back there. And reach out to the marketing department. I'm like, whoa, you know.
Did she say black ass?
She did say black ass. Oh, wow. She did say black ass. And it wasn't on no racist shit. It was, she was just, you know, really helping me level up. And at 21, I mean... It
you
wasn't
weren't
a
taking
worse
it
job.
Quite as seriously as
as it could have been.
Of course, of course.
And
you better than me.
Needless to say, she Arisha, what'd you say?
I said you better than me. I would have fell on the floor.
Right. I mean, it was funny, but I didn't feel no way. But I reached out to the marketing department, which was at Ogletree Deacons in Atlanta, Georgia, and the lady kept calling me Lindsay, and I'm like, at the time we had no pictures on our emails. I'm like, she probably think I'm a white girl or something like that. And she gave me a project to do, and I did it. It was like a PDF. And I might have took like 2 days to turn it in. And she was like, okay, this is great. Now I need you to hyperlink X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know how to do none of this. Mm-hmm. And she was asking me to use a program I wasn't familiar with. So I had to get on YouTube and figure out how to use InDesign, because that was the software that they used. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, we went back and forward, and she was satisfied with the design. Then she said... Now I want to watch you design. So I'm going to come down to New Orleans and watch you design. And I'm like, man, this lady's going to come down here and realize that I didn't design this in InDesign. I designed this in Pages.
Right. You know?
And so she comes down to New Orleans maybe in like a week or so. And my computer does not come on at all.
Sheesh.
And she's like, you all don't have a tech department on site? I'm like, nah, man, no tech department. And so we ended up walking the quarters. Like, we, you know, we did lunch and stuff like that. She flew back to Atlanta the next day, and she gave me the job anyway.
Nice.
That's what's
so up. I had to learn how to do InDesign on my own and things of that nature. But needless to say, I got the job. I worked there for 7 years. The last 2 years of me working there, I ended up moving downtown across the street from the office. Started coming to work an hour and a half late, 2 hours late.
Damn.
But my supervisor was in Atlanta, and so I didn't have anybody on site, so I thought, watching me. Mm-hmm. And one day we got this new office manager who was this white guy, and he wanted to know everything about me. Why do I live across the street? You know, what time am I supposed to be here? Who do I report to? Mm-hmm. And he built a case with my boss. He had all the times I came in.
That's how it be, man.
Yeah. She flew in town to give me my yearly evaluation, and there was no smiles on her face. There was no giggles. It was like, damn, what's going on? You know?
Oh,
and she was like, Darren, you know, you're so charismatic. Everybody loves you. Unfortunately, you know, you got to come to work on time. And we're not going to fire you, but we're going to let you write your own story. But we're going to let you go in 2 weeks. And so, you know, I just told everybody I was going to leave to become a full-time entrepreneur. And everybody was happy for me. And the white office manager was like, well, Darren, unfortunately, I know how everything went down. And I said, I hear what you're saying, but I'm letting you know that I'll be leaving Ogletree to be a full-time entrepreneur. And that's the way I left corporate America.
That's what's up, man. It's unfortunate, and that's what's up. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been full-time ever since. It's been an interesting journey, though.
Of course.
Say I left in 2019. 2020 was the pandemic.
Right. Yeah.
2021, I was diagnosed with stage 5 kidney disease. Mm-hmm. So it's been an interesting 4 years. Yeah.
Huge test of faith.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, so you were in corporate America, as you said,
mm-hmm.
and then there's clearly had to be a shift with yourself, like, especially if you're coming to work an hour and a half, 2 hours late. It's like, that's a personal shift. That's a personal alignment change. That's not like 30 minutes is like, whatever. Hour and a half, like, no, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be tied to that schedule anymore.
Facts. I was just super passionate about my own business. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
I was bringing my own laptop there. I had gotten an office this time now. So, and just to point out, I was the only black man at this white law firm. There was one attorney who was black. My aunt was a secretary. She was black. But I had an attorney's office, and I was 21 years old. Yeah. Like, and so I had no supervision. I would go to Root Chris on my lunch break. Like, you know, it was a bougie little lifestyle for Kerry, you know.
He said Root Chris. I mean, McDonald's on the Popeye. I want some Root Chris.
Yeah, Root Chris for lunch, you know. And so, I used to bring my laptop because I would literally get Ogletree's work done in like the first 30 minutes of the day. So I had like the rest of the 7 hours to do my own shit, you know.
Yeah.
And so I just really became infatuated with building my own brand and my own company, absolutely. You know. On my lunch break, I would make all my posts on Instagram. And so most people didn't even know I had a 9-to-5 because I was marketing my brand.
Yes,
I
remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
With DarrenLindsay.net?
Yeah, DarrenLindsay.net. Yeah. Because for some reason, somebody bought .com. Look who the hell bought my name, you know. it's DarrenLindsay.com now, yes.
Yeah. But talk about that feeling, though, like to say, hey, I'm leaving. Like, talk about that feeling you had, because, I mean, you being a full-time entrepreneur, that can be scary. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I guess I was just confident. You know, I did not make enough money to live on my own, but I just knew that I would do the work I needed to do to sustain.
Mm-hmm.
I never forget, you know, when I gave up the office assistant job, we hired a 65-year-old black woman to be the new office assistant. And I remember telling her I was going to go full-time, and she printed out a list of jobs for me to apply to. And it was just like she could not fathom me being a young black man and working for himself. She was like, no, you're going to need a job. You're going to need health insurance. And I had a conversation with my family members. Like, what are you going to do about health insurance? I'm like, I'll just get health insurance. Like, it's not the end of the world. Like, you get health insurance. Like, we don't get 9-to-5s because we need health insurance. We get 9-to-5s because we need jobs. Yeah. Like, we need money.
We need a secure check.
Yeah.
I need to know where every 2 weeks or every week or whatever it is. Yeah.
So yeah, that was the only scary thing about it. But I was like, if things get tough, I'll just get a job, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's definitely been times over the past 4 years. So I'm like, oh, I might could get a little part-time somewhere. You know, maybe I could. But the truth is, the money you can make building your own brand. I mean, I would literally have to sit on somebody's job for hours to make what I make off a logo design. You know what I'm saying? Off a website, you know? So yeah, it's just easier for me to bet on yourself.
And speaking of health insurance, diagnosed with the kidney disease.
Yeah.
Talk about that experience of, you know, being in Houston, 14 days, I believe.
Yeah, 19.
19 days. So just talk about just that experience of being there, just kind of feeling, I guess, helpless in a way.
Yeah, so this is so crazy. Yeah. So I have a platform called hashtag I need black men to go to the doctor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And basically, this was summer 2019. I found myself really, really sick. And I figured it was COVID. I had COVID the previous year. I'm like, maybe I got COVID again. Muscle cramps, just blurred vision, fatigue, tired, exhausted. I remember I got some wings from Italian Pie, mango habanero wings. And I was like, maybe I threw it up because it was too spicy. Mm-hmm. I was literally so sick. Like, didn't even know to check my blood pressure or anything like that. But I remember one day I was hanging out with two friends and I got a drink and I couldn't stomach it. Like, I just couldn't finish, you know, the drink. Needless to say, Hurricane Isaac happened.
Yeah. Ida. Yeah, right.
And my mom came over to the apartment. She lives in the East. And I'm downtown at Hibernia. And the power is out for, like, I don't know, a day or two. And just not feeling well. Just, I'm like, when the city is back up and running, I'm going to go to the doctor because I've been feeling like this for like 6 weeks. Mm. Needless to say, we ended up evacuating to Houston because the power did not come back on in the city for weeks, you know. And I went to Houston and one of my cousin's husband was like, not one of, my cousin's husband, not that she has multiple husbands, but my cousin's husband.
It's like, 2024, no right, judgment. You know, a little sneaky link, but you know, go ahead.
My cousin's husband was like, there's a young man. Why is he laying around so much? And so it was like, I think he should probably check out urgent care. So I get to urgent care and they run my, you know, blood pressure. They was like, oh, you have hypertension. How long have you had it? And I'm like, I didn't know I had hypertension, you know? Mm-hmm. So they gave me some medicine for hypertension. I take it. I vomit that up. I just keep vomiting, you know, every day. And so then I'm such a workaholic. I'm taking calls with a client. It was called D9Couture.com. And it was like a Greek apparel company, whatever.
Sounds like one, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm on a call with these ladies talking about their website. And my mom's like, son, your health is way more important than it's their website. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we should try to go to, you know, the hospital, to the emergency room. I said, well, let me take the call first, and then we can go afterwards. She was like, son, can we just go now, and maybe you can send them an email? So I have the meeting anyway, and then I go to urgent care, and they said, oh, your blood pressure was 270 over 190, or 170. It was like something ridiculous like that. And I was like, how did you not have a stroke? Did you walk in here? And I was like, yeah, I walked in here. So they said, we're going to test you for everything. We're going to test you for sickle cell. And so they test me for everything. And it was like, oh, you have an acute kidney disease. And I didn't know what that meant, but I knew it had to be something because I knew I felt like shit. Like, I didn't feel normal at all. Yeah. I just had never been sick before, you know. And so they admit me, and my mom comes to the back, and it was like, we're going to start him on dialysis tomorrow. And so she's crying, and I'm, you know, trying to stay strong. But she's like, son, it's okay if you want to cry. So, you know, I kind of shed a tear or whatever like that. And I was just shocked because I'm like, how did I get here? Like, right. How the fuck did this happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they admitted me, had to do a blood transfusion, put a catheter in my chest, and started dialysis the next day.
Wow.
And so after that, I mean, I was pretty much ready to be released, but they needed to admit me to a dialysis center in order for me to leave. But New Orleans wasn't up and running, so I had to stay in the hospital for like 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so immediately I'm in the hospital bed and I'm like, man, bring me my laptop. Like, I'm not doing nothing else while I'm in here. Like, I got bills to pay. I'm a full-time entrepreneur. Like, and so I ended up doing the funeral program while I was in there. Like, I mean, I had to make my money. Yeah, like, I'm like,
look, the bills ain't gonna stop.
Yeah, I'm like, I got, you know. And so while I was in the hospital, I'm like, I should probably blog about this journey, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
And so it was called I Need Black Men to Go to the Doctor, and then to the hospital. And then I changed it to I Need Black Men to Go to the Doctor. And yeah, man, so I just kind of started blogging about the journey and doing my research on what good foods I could eat with kidney failure. Because believe it or not, I was in a hospital. They was giving me cold cut sandwiches and like all of this shit was like things that you wasn't supposed to eat with kidney failure. I'm like,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we have this ham and turkey sandwich.
Right.
Like that'd be the most generic shit. Yeah. I have seen it so many times in the hospital. Uh-huh. My dad has like heart issues. And it's like, yeah, it's cold cuts with buku salt in them.
Yeah.
It's like, no, cook got blood pressure issues. Can we not do that, maybe?
Was just trying to keep you in there, man.
Hey, bro, look, you know, here's some more medicine and a cold cut sandwich.
Right. Yeah, man. So I just, I remember a couple of years ago prior to the diagnosis, I had this blog. I have a lot of blogs. I have a blog called Black New Orleans, but I have a blog called For Black Men. Mm-hmm. And I created the blog because I felt like social media sexualized black men a lot. And I'm like, I know a lot of my partners are entrepreneurs. I'm like, I want to create a page where I just kind of show black men in this light, you know. Mm-hmm. Every black man is not an athlete. Every black man is not a hip-hop artist. Like, they got a lot of dope, I can say the word niggas in here, right? There's a lot of dope niggas that I know.
I don't know.
Like,
you gotta ask Kendrick. You gotta ask Kendrick.
I think I'm that, like, would only apply to me if I actually
I'm like, I know a lot of dope black men. But really, as a graphic designer, I was designing for girl breakfasts, girl brunches, women empowerment this, women empowerment that. And I'm like, I don't do nothing for men. Like, I don't do nothing. And so when I got the diagnosis, I'm like, I'm going to start posting on my page again. And now I'm curated to where I'm doing events catering to black men's health. And that's kind of how I brought the page back around and kind of shifted the, it gave it a new focus.
That's what's up, man, because we don't get no type of love out here.
Yeah,
man, I can write stories, bro. It's being a black man in government, looked over all the time. Passed around, all type of stuff, man. Yeah. So yeah, we need that support as black men. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got those monthly challenges though every month. So for men.
Yeah. So I know the biggest thing when you're building a brand is consistency. And so I said last year, and I think I might have started I got diagnosed in 2019. So 2021. So maybe 2022 was the first year I planned monthly events.
Yes.
And yoga was one of the most popular. Black men yoga was the most popular attended event. Black men box was had maybe 6 or 7, 8 guys come out to that. I did black men bike and we had about 8 or 12 come out to that. And so attendance had kind of started dropping. And I was like, man, fuck this! I'm not doing these events no more. Niggas not trying to get healthy.
Okay. Kind of ask you about that because you did post that of January last year. Like, I don't want to do this shit. But you said it's bigger than me, so I appreciate you putting your own, I guess, pride aside to focus on the people, the community.
Because sometimes you hear people say, even if it's one person, I'm like, well, if I'm just impacting one person, I'm not being impactful.
Yeah.
But the truth is, you are being impactful, even if it's just one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this year came back around, and I changed the hue of my mint green to like this bright lime green. And I feel like it pops more. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, we're going to bring these events back, and then I'll just hear from the fellas that come out to the events. So we did Black Men Yoga this year, and a bunch of guys came out. And so I'm like, obviously, this is one of the most attended events, so we'll just do it more often. And so, last year we started an event called Men Meditation and Mental Health. Because even beyond fitness, a lot of niggas is fucked up in the head, you know?
Yeah.
And we need somebody to talk to. So it's been my goal to find black doctors, which is hard to find black male doctors. We may have 2 in the entire city. There's 1 in Baton Rouge. It's not many at all.
That's crazy.
Primary care physician?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to find a black male therapist. And so I found one.
If there's a Instagram page, NOLA Black Mental Health.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's like a long Instagram handle. Yeah.
Yes.
Nova yeah. Black Mental Health Matters.
That's yeah, that's damn long.
Yeah. I know. Look, yeah.
Like, yeah, no, so, I don't know. Yeah. Speak so, shorter.
A friend of the podcast, Catherine Swain, she's a therapist in the city. She's from the city, but she like sits on a board of there. That's where I found my therapist from.
Gotcha.
Who's a black guy here in the city.
Really? What's his name?
That's a great question.
Oh, the last time you've been to therapy?
last week.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really know his name. Like, whoa, look. Let me just pull up the email.
His email address?
Doc.
Yeah, I'd be like, what's
his
name?
Doc. Yes, please call him Doc.
Yeah, no, but he has an office on St. Charles.
Okay, dope.
He sees people in the evenings and weekends.
Gotcha.
Because I know that was a big thing for me.
I want to check that out.
Because like a lot of therapists don't have evening hours and weekend hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do
so
you like him?
I do.
Yeah.
I honestly, it was... Like, I've been on my own personal mental health journey for a number of years now.
Yeah.
And it, I've seen a few different therapists. He's been the one so far that I've enjoyed seeing the most, and I can feel makes a difference.
Yeah.
So his name is Gerard at Positive Family Solutions.
Okay.
And he sees adults and kids, families. Yeah. Like, he does a lot of different stuff. Yeah. So. Shout out to him. Appreciate it, Gerard.
Let's get to know. Let's get to know.
I know a few black doctors also through inclusive care. Yeah,
definitely send me that, that info.
My wife and mom sit on the board, and you know,
yeah,
know a lot of it's
I definitely
inclusive.
Want that info. Yeah, because so. I want to be able to give that away to you know the people that tap into my platform. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been hard to find a black therapist. There is this guy named Marlon, and he's agreed to come out to speak a few times, and then his mom got sick one time, and so I just never. So I've ended up having to research info to share at our meetups. But David over at Dreamhouse, he's led the fellas into a guided meditation, and so just really building that community. I know it's kind of popular, like in New York and different places like that, but just kind of trying to bring that culture here in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think our culture, one, could benefit from it.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, growing up here, it isn't always easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all, and especially now when you look at the things this younger generation is going through.
Yeah.
Huh. And the... It's not always lack of resources, but lack of access or lack of information or, you know, there's or just, you know, not having people in their lives to be like, hey, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And kind of steer them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Because that's what it feels like a lot of times. It's not even lack of stuff. It's just they don't have anyone to steer them to those things. And sometimes, you know, I know for me, I feel like maybe we were a little bit more independent and grew up a little bit faster, you know, because I knew how to get around the city and get everywhere I need to when I was in middle school.
Right. Same.
You know, like I was 12 and I was jumping on a bus from the east.
Same.
You know, to downtown to catch the next bus to get to school. So.
But I also feel like we had parents who were of age. I feel like a lot of my peers now. I have friends that are 38 with 18-year-olds, you know. And so they out, they going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo today. And don't know if their kids did homework or, you know, they out doing the week.
My mom's 20 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like that.
Yeah.
I was, you know, but she, but I think it's also a generational gap.
For sure.
Because our parents were rough sometimes. Yeah. So.
Very rough.
Look, dude, it was a different era.
Uh-huh.
And now I think a lot of these parents, people our age, like they had kids because that's what they're, you know, you're supposed to get in a relationship, get married or have kids and do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, now they want to live their lives.
Yeah.
It's like, well, like I got two kids. I'm not going to be out running around and not know where the hell my kids at. I will GPS their ass in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I will air tag their stuff. Like, now I'm going to know where you at, cuz.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lack of accountability for a lot of parents, and the kids are just left by the wayside. So having resources like that to be able to share and pass along is important.
For sure.
So when you went through the hospital, a whole situation happened, did you like see a therapist like to kind of talk about your problems afterwards?
No, bruh, I did not. I really didn't. Let me tell you, having kidney failure has been a blessing because I didn't have a passion for healthcare. I never went to the doctor. I never thought any of this was essential until I got sick. So it's been a blessing in disguise, but no, I didn't. And that's why me hosting events like this is always kind of a little comical, because it's like, I don't have a therapist, but I know that there's I know that it's important, you know.
Absolutely, yes.
So no, I did not see a therapist doing this at all. I will say I'm Christian, so I do watch a lot of online church. I have been to a church. So I do lean on my faith. So that's therapeutic. So yeah.
Well, you sit in a therapist's office now, so that's a sign.
This is that therapy, actually, yeah. But you turned a negative into a positive. You started, you did health fair after you came back.
I did. One of my friends, Ryan, she actually gave me the idea. Let me tell you, I'm an entrepreneur through and through. So getting sick was like, okay, I can make this a brand. I can make this a merch. I can sell some shirts. Like, so that's immediately what my brain goes into. But I'm like, outside of it being a brand, I'm like, this can really help a ton of people. Like, this is, and when I started doing my research, I was in the hospital. There was no, books or, like, there was a two-page ebook about Beckman Health Facts on the internet. Right. On the internet. I'm like, there's literally no, like, so that really bothered me. I even told it to a couple of doctors I was able to get for the health fair. They were, well, you're not a doctor yet. What are you, like, I don't want to, it's not interns. They were doing their residency. So, and I was telling them, I was able to get two to come out from Tulane, I believe. And they just shared some facts and things of that nature. But yeah, I had a couple of people tell me no. Or like, I remember I got a nutritionist to come out. His name is Zoe from Botanicals. He was like, man, I'm the only one working my shop right now. I said, but can you close early and come to the shop? Because I don't take no at all.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't know what you need to do, but I'm going to add you to the flyer, but I really need you to show up. So it'd be great if you showed up. And he showed up, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was able to get a pastor to come out because I wanted to target spiritual health, nutritional health, physical health, and I had a therapist to come out, which he was a counselor, but, you know, he was able to talk about mental health and things of that nature. And yeah, it was, I had a couple of vendors out there because somebody was like, black men suffer from stress because of finances, and so we should target financial health too. And I was like, all right, we can make this work. So yeah, I did a health fair at Culture Park.
So how, I mean, some ways you can go about that, but is you always find ways to bring people together. So how did you go from graphic design to networking events? Like, how that came about?
Yeah, so interesting enough, there was this guy named Austin Richards, and he was a graphic designer, and he would do these like events at Eiffel. You remember Eiffel?
You remember Eiffel? Yeah, go. Yeah. Rest in peace, Eiffel.
Yeah, rest in peace, Eiffel. And he would have like do these networking events, and it would be like an intimate crowd come out. And I'm like, how is this man getting these big buildings like this and not drawing enough, you know, people to come out? And so I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna do a networking event and see how it comes out. And so being a designer, I had like five flyers for the event. You know, I had one for each panelist. I had one for the, I had a friend, Mark Thomas, who was a singer. And I was adding all this extra fluff to the event in case people wasn't interested in branding and marketing. And people were really there for the conversation. So I had a DJ, I had a live performer, I had a live painter. And so I was adding all of these elements to the event. And people was really just there for the information. And so slowly I began, you know, getting away from all of the extra and just doing networking. But yeah, man, after being a designer for so many years, I realized people would buy flyers for me to market their events. And they would post it one time. And I'm like, I don't think my clients know how to market for real. Like, you just spent all of this money to post this one time. Like, you have to, you got to tell your brand story. You have to, you know, bait the people in to want to be interested in what it is that you're even producing. You have to send out an e-blast. You have to send out a text blast. And so I'm like, I should probably host an event.
Or get you a branding box.
Or get you a branding box, you know. But I'm like, I should probably host an event so people can know how to market their businesses, how to market their events. And so that's how that came about.
You just found a way to just figure things out.
Yeah, man. And you know, it's not always easy.
You say you don't take no for an answer.
Yeah. Right. It's not always easy because I grew up very quiet. I have a twin brother named Devin Lindsay, and my brother was always dominant, always loud. And once I found out what I was good at, which was branding and marketing, I just kind of honed in on it. But I will say, in the beginning, I spent a lot of money and did not receive a profit. And I think that's kind of one of the misconceptions with being an entrepreneur, that you make money or that you're rich. But I was spending like $3,000 on events, and I wasn't making but $800 back, you know. And so now I've built so many relationships where I can go into an establishment and do an event for free because they know I'm going to bring people in.
Nice.
So it definitely takes time in the beginning to sow those seeds up front, but it's worth it in the end.
So take me behind the scenes of what it takes to put a networking event together. Like, do you first get venue first? Like, what is the process to put a networking event together?
So for me, I come up with a catchy title, right? The title has to be catchy, and it has to make sense. Because I think a lot of times people do things and people don't know what it is that they're doing. And so I make sure that the description of it makes sense, that an 8-year-old can understand it.
Like marketing mimosas.
Yeah, you know, like you, the title alone tells you what this event is, you know. And so, yeah, so I come up with the title, and then I come up with the color palette because that's important to me. The typography has to match and be cohesive. And then I make sure I find a venue that everybody don't be doing shit at. So having a unique venue is so important to me. Like, if it's a place that everybody been to, then chances are people not going to want to come to my event because they've been here 10, 30 times already before. So I always try to find a venue that nobody has been to for real. And yeah, so that's kind of the process. Then I come up with my ticket pricing and things of that nature. I find me a DJ. Lately, I haven't been using DJ as much, though, because I feel like, you know, people don't really be there for the DJ, like, talking about it. They be there to build relationships. So the more events you do, you'll realize what's important and what's not important. Because I haven't had a live painter in my at an event since, like, 2018 or 19. Because, you know, they're nice picture-wise, but people don't really care, you know.
You also have a panel as well. So how do you know who to actually invite to come out to the panels?
Panelists are important to me. I'm not the guy that goes after people that are popular. I'm the guy that goes after people who are doing the work, who are great at what they do, and people who are working hard. So you could have 200 followers, but if I know you're consistent, I want you as a panelist because you have info to offer.
Subject matter experts.
So yeah, I just kind of scan the market. I figure out what my focus is going to be. Like last year we did coins. What was my title last year? It was like coins, social media, and something else. I can't think of it. But my panelist was the owner of Abstract Nola. It was Mr. Happy Hour because he's pretty consistent online. I met this girl, Drika, once. She's a tax expert. Who else was there? M-Line, everybody in the city. A lot of niggas in the city wear M-Line, so I wanted to make sure the owner of that
not me.
Was there.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
Not wearing one. I mean, I like it, just I don't buy it.
Wear here's what? The thing.
M-Line.
I don't wear M-Line don't either because I don't like looking like everybody else.
That's my thing, too.
So
I go to, like, you know, H&M, Walmart. Yeah. I'm real low-key with my clothes.
Let me tell you, bruh. People assume I spend a lot of money on my clothes. I literally shop at H&M, Walmart if the shirt is nice.
And guess what? Thrift store. They sell good stuff, too.
Nah, I like new clothes. I will say that. I do like new clothes. And I mean, if I find something online, you know, if it's expensive, I'll buy it if I want it. But for the most part, you know, I'm not spending $200 on... but anyways, the panelists... who else was on the panel? Morgan. I remember Morgan told me she committed that she had two other events to speak to at that day. I said, well, I'm going to put you on the flyer. If you don't come, this is going to look bad. But she ended up coming. She was late, but she really wanted to be there. And it's just really about me, you know, building a community. So that's pretty much how I find panelists. I look at people and their engagement online and their passion and their heart for what they do. So... yeah, and that's kind of how I bring people together.
Keep him in mind for next panel.
For sure. For sure. For sure.
I can talk at the very least.
Yeah.
So with all the different brands essentially that you have created under Darren Lindsay, the brand.
Yeah.
how are you managing that? Because it's a lot.
It's a lot. You know, sometimes certain things fall off. Like I have another clothing line. I probably haven't posted on there since October. So I do try to come up with a creative content calendar for each of my brands, which I haven't done for another clothing line because it takes money to buy merch. And, you know, but for the most part, like Black New Orleans is one of those things where every time I post like a campaign, the page grows by 1,100 followers.
And right, because that's a massive page.
What is it?
11,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because so, I was literally just looking at it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
and sometimes I find I run out of things to talk about on the page, so that's kind of like the challenge with it. So then I start highlighting people. I'm like, this is February. Let's highlight 28 black men. Or it's
that was dope. I like that.
Yeah, let's highlight 30 women, you know. And so I'll do things like that. But if those are the times when the page goes. Also, when I drop like a restaurant list, a black restaurant list, the page grows like by 1,500 followers. So everybody wants a shout out.
Absolutely.
Essentially a free one too, you know.
Yeah.
But how do I manage it? I try to come up with a creative calendar for the year. And that kind of gives me something to look forward to on a month-to-month basis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at some point you're going to hire an assistant?
Yeah, I would like to. You know, one time I ain't even going to say his name. I'd be name dropping too. But I was going to hire this this high school student. And the first thing this man did was, he ain't gonna hear this podcast anyway. But the first thing this man did was follow himself. And then he posted him eating Chinese food on Black New Orleans by an accident. Like he meant to post it on his page, but he posted it on my story. And he wasn't doing what I was asking him to do. I was telling him to pitch different clients to be in the Black Business Directory. And so, yeah, I don't be having patience. If I hire somebody to do something and I don't see results within like a day or two or three, I'm like, you know what? This is fine. I'll do it myself. Because I know how I work. I work immediately and efficiently. And eventually I'll get an assistant. But for right now, I've been having a few partnerships. This is girl Alexis Danielle. She's out of Baton Rouge. She's been helping me with sponsorships and things of that nature. So I've been having a few people kind of come in and assist with different things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, finding the right partners is important. That's, you know, that's necessary. That's how you grow.
Absolutely. And scale.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially, you know, you have these pages that have reached a certain point. Now just take it to the next part from here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can set your expectations for when you are ready to bring people on. It's like, look, this is what I expect.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and if you can't do it, tell me that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'll find somebody that can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your ultimate goal with everything? At the end of the day, you want to be known as
the legacy of Darren Lindsay.
The legacy of Darren Lindsay. Y'all ready for this? It's the first time I'm announcing this.
Bam, let's go to podcast. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
I've done my research, and there is not a Black-owned gym franchise in the world. I would like, think about it. There's Black people that have bought gyms, bought other people's franchises. There's not a Black-owned gym franchise. Gotcha. And so I would like my own Black-owned gym franchise. And here's the kicker. I wanted to have, I'm calling it Fellas Fitness, the wellness gym. And the dope part about this gym is that I want blood pressure machines in there. I want nurses on standby. I want it to be a way for Black men to get well and work out at the same time. Dope. I want a room for wellness activities, hip-hop fitness, events that I'm currently doing now, Black men yoga. And I really want it to be dedicated to Black men. A friend of mine said the other day when I dropped it, was like, are women invited? Women will be invited for a higher cost because I do want to focus on Black men. As I said before, Black men don't have their own spaces, you know, and I want this really to be dedicated to men.
Yeah. I like
so,
that.
So that would be my legacy.
I like that.
I did the math. If I make my gym membership 150 and I have 300 people at my gym sign up, that would be $45,000 at one location. If I have a location in New York, Atlanta, New Orleans, LA,
Houston,
and you know, Chicago, Houston, man. Yeah. Then I can make $500,000 a year at each location. So that is my legacy. Yeah.
That's what's up.
And when you're talking about wellness, you're talking about fitness, you're talking about all of those things that go hand in hand with it. This is just me just spitballing because I love to do that. Uh-huh. you can get into insurance because wellness visits are covered by insurance and things like that. So then that offsets the cost. Wellness and gyms are actually covered by certain insurance as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could charge that amount, make that money while still and still, you know, it's not cost prohibitive to the people that actually attend it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you know, $150 a month is a lot, but if it's if you're saying, well, look, your insurance covers these things, you know,
and I want it to be though, Mark, a luxury gym. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I want it to be upscale. Like there's this gym in Austin that I saw because I was at Dallas's the other week and I was looking up what's the hottest gym in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple of ones that was kind of corny, but this gym was like really fire. Now the only thing the gym did not have was a pool, and I really want a pool because African Americans, most of them do not know how to swim.
Facts.
And so this gym is literally geared towards black men. Like it's
how deep would that pool be? Like
it ain't gonna be three feet. It ain't gonna be ridiculous.
Three to five feet.
No, you gotta go 8 to 12.
No, hell no, I'm not
getting Yeah, you do.
No, look, I'm not doing it.
If
I
don't know if
I'm gonna shower outside.
No. You know how to swim, Marlon?
A little bit, but I'm not gonna 8 feet of water.
So, Hold on, tell me.
You don't know how to swim?
I can swim.
Okay.
But I'm not getting 8 feet of water.
You in the pool.
But I'm not getting 8 feet of water. Not doing
you ain't got to get in. That's why they got a 3 foot side.
Exactly. Showering.
But
keep going.
So here's the thing. I grew up swimming. I know. It's Marlon. We know how this is.
Doesn't your mom have 6 feet? It doesn't go to 6 feet?
I can stand in that.
Okay.
I can't stand 8 feet.
Two additional feet.
I'm good on that. I'm good.
But
keep going.
I remember swimming at the Gertown pool in high school. They had a lap pool. They used to teach all the classes. None but black people in there.
Yeah.
Duh. It was like, in high school, my sophomore year of high school, McMaine had a swim team.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
What?
Yeah. Freshman year, nothing. Sophomore year, we had a black swim coach, a swim team. First year McMaine had ever had a swim team.
Where did they swim? Because y'all didn't have a pool.
We swam at Gertown. We would take the bus to Gertown Pool.
That's dope.
And we had lanes reserved for practice. We practiced like 4 or 5 days a week. But you would see classes going on with kids, with adults, and we would swim there. I remember, you know, and we swam against like Jesuit, Newman, and all of them.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was a pool full of black people just learning how to swim and doing different classes. And that was one of the few places where it was like, you see people actually being taught how to swim. Because, like, I swam my whole life. My dad taught me how to swim. I've probably been swimming since before I could walk.
Gotcha.
So.
And that's what we need to learn.
I mean, technically you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, he actually threw me in a pool as a baby.
It was technically.
So that could explain a lot of things, too. Yeah. Lack of oxygen.
But he threw you into the pool?
Yeah. And I floated.
Yeah, because you swim in the.
Exactly.
Yeah. But also, like, there's science behind it. Like, when you talk about African American people in particular, African Americans have denser muscles, which is why they are less buoyant. That's a science thing. Buoyant, meaning they don't float as well.
Yeah. Floating.
So this is where the misinformation about black people can't swim. They're naturally can't swim. No, they have denser muscle mass, so they sink.
Oh, so they're big boned.
No, it's not. At what point did I say bones? I know you do.
You just say more mass. Just saying.
Denser muscle.
Denser. That's okay. Let me be quiet.
You know, bro, I'm not using $13 words right here, bro.
Okay.
You got a degree. That's true. You know what are we doing?
This is true.
But yeah, so, you know, dispelling rumors, dispelling misinformation. Like, understand, it's going to be harder to float. Especially the more muscular you are, it is harder to float. So you know what you do? You practice learning everything around it.
Yeah.
And it's tough. Because, I mean, you know, I'm half white. It is what it is. I can float. It's just how it shook out. But...
Why did that be like that?
Look, I'm just saying what it is. Like, you know. But, you know, I know people I grew up with couldn't swim, couldn't float to save their life.
Yeah.
But it's like you learn how to swim.
But no, that's good information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
which means it's probably going to be difficult for an adult to learn how to swim.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's like the easiest thing to do is teach people to get comfortable with floating. Mm-hmm. If you can't float, then it's like, well, what do I do from there? Mm-hmm. Well, you got to teach them how to dog paddle. You got to teach them how to do all.
Give them a floaty.
You floaties, absolutely, and get over the stigma of like I got to use this thing to help me do something, or I can do it myself. No, you can't.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. Like you
get
you
a donut.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, look, I remember seeing adults in the pool with the pool noodles and the floaties and all that stuff. Yeah. Just you know,
those are fun to play with though.
Yeah, but also you learn how to do the things you need to do. So if you're ever in a situation where you're stuck in some water, you're not gonna drown.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids drowned.
I just
think there's a D at the end of drown.
You know, you really. You know.
Fix it, Jesus. Just fix it.
You good? You good?
I'm good.
You had to put a button on that, huh?
I'm good, bro. I'm just. Okay. I know we were speaking with big words and stuff, so I just want
to. We weren't. Buoyant that's and the shit. Thing. Yeah.
Buoyant and
you know.
Buoyant and what's the other word
this
you
is
used?
What I have to
he put. Has. He has big words every.
This
every
man
single.
Has like a master's degree.
Two of them.
He said he works in government.
Two of them works. He has two master's degrees.
Yeah.
It is telling me about the words I'm using.
Not speaking the third grade terms.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Learn that from teaching.
Yeah,
psychological.
I didn't teach kids. I don't like kids like that.
Most people read at a third grade level.
I know.
Speak at a third grade level also. So it's kind of like I had to train myself to.
Oh, okay. I was never one of those people.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you. I know you wasn't.
I know.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. I always read at like college level. That's all I ever knew. Novels and shit, real young.
I know.
What's happening here?
I don't know. You know, y'all giving me shit about the words I'm using.
Nah. I just said,
you know, we talking about swimming people and shit, you know.
Sure thing. So my last question to you, Darren.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Taylor Swift?
How did we get here?
What kind of question?
So, he was a guest on the 504 show with Sheba Turk, shout out to Sheba. And he was asked a question about Taylor Swift.
Sheba, huh?
Yeah, and he likes a song. What is it?
Shake It Off. I don't like a song, but that's like the only Taylor Swift song I know.
Right.
Shout out to Taylor Swift. No, yeah. I'm not a fan, but I got lots of love for her.
Didn't she do that song Wrecking Ball?
I don't know.
No, that was Miley Cyrus.
That was Miley Cyrus. Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you guys aren't fans either.
No. I don't know any songs. Taylor Swift.
I know no Taylor Swift songs.
Oh, look. I mean, I've heard like piano instrumentals the first songs, and then I skip.
I can't name one song.
Yeah.
I don't.
I mean, if you went to iTunes, maybe it may sound familiar, but I don't know.
I mean, the thing is, they play it everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you're gonna hear it at some point, whether you're acting.
Now Q93.
I listen to a lot of talk radio, so I don't really.
That's a podcast and Spotify.
Spotify and
it's not my Spotify.
Honestly,
list,
I listen 80% like classical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No
doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. Like my.
Is it to relax or is it to?
Well,
enjoy.
I enjoy it at this point, so it's primarily what I'm listening to is like classical interpretations of modern music. But then there's always some like older things in there I've never heard before.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know. My job can be fairly stressful Monday through Friday. So it's like, I'll just have that playing in the background.
I dig it.
And then living here, there's always a lot going on.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, having something that's the opposite of everything going on is nice sometimes.
Yeah.
You got the app?
What app?
From Apple Music, the classical music app?
No.
It's an app.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Specifically for classical music.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, I use Spotify.
Spotify it is.
Yeah.
You have Apple Music? What's Spotify?
Apple Music.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do Spotify. I keep it.
I'm tired of paying for all these damn
apps.
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest. Like, I'm just.
How much is a month for Apple Music?
I think
$10.99. That's saying Spotify.
Pay for my phone bill.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fireflex.
I don't.
You got to manipulate the system, make it work for you.
So you're still paying for it, you're just doing it on your phone bill?
At half the price.
Oh. Yeah.
Are you with AT&T?
Verizon.
AT&T.
T-Mobile.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I mean just you know, I'm tired of paying for everything. I want to not pay for things at this point.
You know what's interesting? So my mom pays for Netflix. I pay for Hulu. My living room TV, I can watch Netflix. But my bedroom TV, like, it's like one too many accounts is using Netflix.
Oh, right? Yeah. I'm you like, got to.
And they're watching that so stuff now, too. Right, they're watching now, that now.
I'm going to tell you what to do. After you finish. Good. Disney Plus. Get the bundle. You can watch everything except ESPN on the Disney Plus app. So all Hulu shows, it's going to be on the Disney Plus app. Mm-hmm. Got to make the system work for you.
Yes. That's some crooked shit, man. Look,
I was paying like $27 a month for Netflix. Because
yeah, that's the only thing I still pay for.
I had the top tier Netflix.
Yeah, that shit went from like $8 to $25 plus tax.
It was like $25.99. You know, because I have a 4K TV, and honestly, I didn't care because half the time I can't even tell if it's 4K or not. Mm. Don't care. The reason I paid for it is because my kids had Netflix on their tablets. And they could download shows to watch, and up to four or five people can watch at the same time with no interruptions.
Yeah,
that's the only reason I paid for it.
Yeah,
because I was just like, you know, that $25 a month is worth it.
Yeah,
because they can download whatever they want, and I don't have to hear about it.
Yeah.
At this point,
does anyone still have cable though? Because if you're,
they should not have cable at this point. You should not.
Yeah, because if you just have $25 that you. Paying the stream.
Honestly, I don't have cable. All I pay for at this point is Wi-Fi because I think I got everything I watch. I watch on my Fire Stick, which is jailbroken, so I'm not paying for it. So, you know, and I have a couple other websites I can use because I have a PC connected to my TV.
Gotcha.
So I'll just turn my PC on, grab my wireless keyboard, put my feet up, and find whatever I want to watch.
Yeah,
because I have cable was like $150 a month.
Yeah,
yeah, I was there too.
I haven't had cable since 2016, 2017.
Well, yeah. I have Philo, which is an app.
I've seen Philo, yeah.
But it's really not many channels on there though. I don't pay for it, but it's not many channels on there.
I mean, they have access to like there's a bunch of different apps. My kids were telling me about one that they use called like Venobox, which they have a bunch of stuff on there. Like they have a regular thing where it has commercials, but then they have the premium subscription with no commercials. Like that, we don't want commercials. Like I had commercials growing up. You gonna have commercials? Too.
Right.
could be.
They give me a break from the show.
Yeah.
Like. Nah. I like ad free.
Yeah, I hate commercials.
Guys, like YouTube TV. Shout out to Justin from YouTube TV. That's clutch. So
honestly, like even now they're changing the tiers.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like now, like Prime has ads now, which is just annoying.
That's one thing I don't use is Prime.
Me neither.
I don't use Netflix either. So that's more so for my wife because she's a Netflix head. But Prime, I don't even know
honestly
what's on
like
it.
I enjoy Prime shows.
Other than Invincible, The Boys,
Yeah. Jack Ryan was good.
Yeah, that was yeah.
The Michael B. Jordan movie he did was good.
Mm.
Trying to think what else I watched on there. The show with like Al Pacino, where they were killing all the Nazis, that was a really good show.
So was that,
dude? It was dope because it was like set in like the 70s, 60s or 70s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Al Pacino was like Jewish, and he had like a group of people together, and they were like killing Nazis.
Oh God!
And I was like, hey, this is wild.
Let's not talk about that. So, Darren,
it's never a bad day. To not talk about killing Nazis.
Yeah, no.
Or just killing people in general. This is
no, just Nazis. Not just people. Nazis. Nazis aren't.
Okay, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. So, Darren, this Saturday is yoga.
Yes. Definitely check it out, y'all. This Saturday is Black Men Yoga at 11 a.m. At Crescent City Park. Tickets are $20. Mats are included, but I suggest that you bring yours because mats are limited. But yeah, it's one of our dopest events for Black men. Which will eventually be called for Black Men's Health. Me and a good friend of mine, Devontae Williford, is working on making us a nonprofit organization.
Nice.
Okay. That's awesome.
And so, yeah, Black Men Yoga is this Saturday at 11 a.m. It should last for about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour.
What can people expect if they've never done yoga before?
Your back is going to hurt.
Do I bring cash?
First time with him. Well, that was February, right?
Yeah, March 3rd, I believe.
March 3rd. March 2nd, so yeah, my back was hurting the day after that. So
it was just,
that's because you're a bitch.
Do I bring cash or is there a link?
Yeah, there's a link. If you go to my website, DarrenLindsay.com, and click on the health tab, it'll be on that page. But yeah, your back isn't going to hurt. If you haven't done yoga before, they just ask that you don't leave the room. You know, you just attempt to do what you can.
Right.
What you can't, you can't. But honestly, it's just a good moment of brotherhood.
Yeah,
definitely. It's just a solid time to reflect and relax and become one with yourself. So.
Yeah. Yoga's great.
Yeah, I truly enjoy this. The first time I'm doing yoga, and I truly enjoy the experience.
I'm going to have to come this time. I don't think I'm doing anything Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to push my haircut up.
You're going to go too?
Hmm?
You're going to go too?
Yeah.
Okay, so now I have to go.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Got to go find me a yoga mat.
I'm going.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you need like the blocks too? Or?
Nah. But I actually, I need to reach out to Dream House because I tend to get about 10 or 15 from them. So if you don't have one, you know, I'll have a couple.
Good deal, man. But yeah, Darren, it's been a pleasure talking to you, brother.
Appreciate it,
honestly,
man.
You are a walking inspiration. Like your ups and your downs, and you really put off the community. So like I say, thank you, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. I don't like to use this word too often, but there's a
big word?
Testimony there.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, you know, it's not a big word, okay.
It's not. It's a religious word. I don't do a lot of those. So I don't like, they're oversaturated. Everybody think, you know, oh, I found my dentures. That's my testimony. No, baby.
You found your what?
The exact
dentures.
Dentures, yeah. Like, I've heard that in real life before, so that's a thing. So, yeah, no, but it's a true story.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, finding out at a young age, because that's what it was, that you had these health issues, especially kidneys, because it's like kidneys.
Yeah, at 30.
Like, at 30, yeah. Like what? Mm-hmm. And then because that's devastating to most people.
Yeah.
Because it's like.
No, I've literally had people tell me, man, you're so strong. If that was me, I would have just. Kill myself.
I gave up. Look, checking out.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a low point. Just the fact that you're in a hospital bed, you hear the word kidney failure.
And
stage five.
It was
so it's
acute,
like.
And then it, you know, progressed to stage five. I'm like,
zero to 100 real quick.
Yeah. Like,
and it's like you in a bed. It's like you're not home. You're in Houston. You're never in New Orleans. You're in Houston. So just. All
right, cool. Let me blog about this.
Yeah.
Like that's like, let me look. I'm here to tell y'all about this today. Y'all gonna learn today. You know, we're gonna talk about this.
That's very courageous, bro. Like, cause I mean, I think any normal person like, I'm not recording this. Like, this is like, I'm really down on myself.
My lowest moment.
My lowest moment. Like, I'm not feeling this, but you say, you know what? Let me turn into a positive. Let me record so if I can see my journey. And the fact that you did that, bro, hands down inspiration.
Yeah.
Definitely shows people that, you know, even when you're dealing with very dark situations, there can be a light at the other end of that. If that's what you wanna see.
Yeah.
Facts.
It's about perspective. It's about where you hold your perspective. So
for sure.
Absolutely.
I'll say this, something that's not written in my bio. In February, my mom had an old coworker come in town from Mardi Gras. He's retired now. He lives in Seattle with his wife. A 63-year-old white man told her, "I want to give your son a kidney." Told me what his blood type was, and I'm like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I'll be fine. He followed up maybe a month later, asked me for the paperwork. I texted it to him, immediately got tested, was a match.
Wow.
2 weeks later, had to do blood work. I had to do blood work as well. Results came back, his vitals were good, he was a match. So we'll be moving forward with a kidney transplant.
I love that, man. That's dope, man.
Yeah.
That's what's up, bro.
Still kind of surreal. It's like...
that's favor, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, when he said it, I was like, you know, I'm good, you know. But it's like, man, this man really... I'll be transparent here. I have a twin brother, and I have a black father. And they've mentioned doing it, and they haven't been, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Quick to
do the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, this man literally, like, if the hospital in Seattle, he's not even in New Orleans. Like, if the hospital in Seattle calls him at 3:00, he calls me at 3:07. Like, I just got off the phone with, like, he's just really excited to do this, you know? Yeah. And so I'm grateful.
That's a blessing. Well,
shout out to you, man. I got my event ticket, so I'll be there. I added the brand to the home screen.
For sure.
Yeah, so we moving.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, dude, that's inspiring.
It is.
Yeah. Because that's...
You get emotional with your dog. Don't mind me.
You're going to be all right.
No, that shit is dope.
Yeah, it really
but
is.
But that's favor. Yeah. That's if absolutely. You believe in a higher being, that's a pure example of favor.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's humans being the best of what humans can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this man has 3 kids of his own, grandkids, like... And he was intentional. He's like, I want to do this, you know. Yeah. So,
God did, man.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Yeah. Well, congratulations, brother.
Appreciate it.
I wish you the best throughout that process, and nothing but success with it, and a safe and prosperous procedure,
for sure.
And a continued travel along the health journey that you are on.
Yes.
To where whatever it is that you do have to do on a daily basis, you no longer have to do.
Yeah.
Because that's going to obviously increase kidney function and do everything else.
Yeah.
Eliminate a lot of the things.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a blessing, man.
Yeah. I'm grateful.
Yeah, dude. That's something to put a smile on your face. Yeah, dude. That's awesome. So anything else, fellas? Cause that's
I'll close out on a saying by Darren Lindsay.
Here
we go.
let's connect. Let's collab. Let's create.
Yes,
there
sir.
We go.
Yes, sir.
And without, ladies and gentlemen, you got anything?
Without further ado.
Drake won. So y'all have a good one.
Peace.
And that's another episode. Give us a like and follow on Facebook and Instagram at Daily Dollar Show Podcast. And listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more.